Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Bookshelf Odyssey. My name is Art, and I'm here to talk about what I read in 2021. I like to try to keep track of a lot of stats, so I won't bore you with all of them, but a couple of the things I did read, I read 186 books, and over half of them were audiobooks this year. I really have gone to town on audiobooks the last couple of years, especially since the pandemic started, and I think it's pretty obvious why, but that's greatly increased my reading. Now, my reading is down by a lot from last year. I think last year I read something like 240 books, which is a crazy amount. That's the most I've ever read in a year. A lot of those were audiobook. The month I had COVID in November, I actually ended up reading 30 books because I was home either sick or home and exhausted or home because my kids had exposed me or we had exposed the kids. I don't know how, I can't remember the order of things, but I pretty much was home for a whole month and I managed to read 30 books in 1 month. In part thanks to audiobooks. So that's a record I don't think I'm going to be breaking anytime soon. And I wouldn't be surprised if this coming year, if hopefully things are getting back to normal, that that number will go back down to where I'm usually at, around 140, 150 books in a year. I still read a lot compared to some. You know, I don't have a lot of, sounds crazy, but I don't have a lot of other hobbies that take up my time. And I love to read. I do use audiobooks quite a bit, in that you can get through those a lot quicker because I can listen to them while I'm working or writing or exercising or, you know, hiking, all those things I like to do. I usually can have an audiobook plugged in. So that's always helpful. Another thing I noticed that I really want to work on this year is the past few years I've been keeping track using, I think Book Riot has a spreadsheet that you can use to keep track of your reading. And I didn't realize just how much my reading is dominated by male writers, which, you know, some people that's a problem, others not. But I really want to try to read more diversely this year. I think one of the helpful things with the spreadsheet has been to see what it is I usually read. And now I would like to branch out from that. And I'm hoping this year to read at least 50-50 between male and female writers and see how that changes my reading. But fortunately, you know, with that chart, I'm able to see those patterns and say, well, let's try to change things up a bit and see how that works. So that's just some of the fun I find in reading and keeping track of what I read. And I don't really have the specifics on hand at the moment, but I know for sure one of the genres I read a lot of this past year were mysteries and probably classics like Victorian literature. I tend to read mysteries whenever I get stressed. In the last 2 years, my mystery reading has really been through the roof. So yeah, I think that says a lot about what kind of year I've had. I've really enjoyed my reading year this year. And I think in part it was starting my BookTube channel in August, I believe was the start date. And that, like I said in a previous video, this was something I've always wanted to do. And I thought this was the year to do it. If I don't do it, I'm going to regret it, at least trying. So I've really been thankful for that, having everyone coming along with me. Along those lines, as you may have seen in my previous video, I'm starting on the week of January 17th, a Dickens read-along of Great Expectations, and I'll be posting a video, hopefully, every Friday, where I will recap that week's reading and kind of do a deep dive into it. I've started already reading myself to prepare it a little bit ahead for the videos. I had a nicer copy of Great Expectations, but I thought I would go ahead and use this one. It's a Barnes & Noble edition. It's the edition I first read it in, and I really like it. I've read it a couple times in this one, and now I'm starting to mark it all up with tabs and things, which is something else I learned to do thanks to BookTube. BookTubers, I want to extend the invitation to you again that if you want to come on and help me recap the week's reading, I would love for you to do that. You're more than welcome. Just give me a message, shout out, and we'll schedule a time for you to be on one of the week updates. I've already had one person say for sure they want to be on, so that's amazing. And just let me know that you would like to, and we'll jump on Zoom or something and do it. So the first update video will be on January 21st. And as a couple people mentioned, they won't be reading along, but they'll be following along with the videos. And that's perfectly fine too. You don't feel like you have to. If you're like me, you probably have signed up already for one too many readathons or read-alongs, and you're getting a little overwhelmed. So I perfectly understand that. These videos will be here forever, so you're always welcome to come back and watch and comment. So hello to everyone in the future. All that aside, let's get into my top 10 favorite books from 2021. Coming in at number 10 is a book called The Homemaker by Dorothy Canfield Fisher. This was published in 1924, and I read it in June of this year, last year. And this is a very forward-thinking book, and it really appealed to me. It's a story of how a husband and wife's traditional roles get flipped. The husband suffers an accident. He had been very displeased with work. He's been overwhelmed and frustrated and all that, and he had an accident that left him injured so that he couldn't work. And so in order to pay the bills, his wife went to work while he stayed at home and rested and recovered. And as he got better and started feeling better, he started doing the housework of taking care of the children, preparing meals, things like that. And his wife went to work as a saleswoman, and she realized that she found great satisfaction in going to work and earning money. And he is realizing that he finds great satisfaction of being at home, taking care of the children, preparing meals, cleaning the house, things that traditionally, especially in 1920s, were considered to be, you know, women's work versus man's work. And I found that story just to be a profound and insightful statement on what we consider to be gender roles and what's traditional and what's not and what's okay and what's not. Yeah, I know some of you might be watching this and thinking, you know, oh, my husband doing the dishes or my husband doing laundry, you know, oh, that sounds terrible. And, you know, it depends on the person. And I think that's the point of the story, is that maybe some people are better suited for those jobs that we consider to be man's work or women's work. And maybe it's time to readjust our thinking on those roles we expect people to play. So I found that to be very, very fascinating and a good story too. Definitely a good story. And so that might be something of interest to you, especially considering it was written in 1924. I think it makes a powerful statement even still today. Coming in at number 9 is a Christmas story I read called Mrs. Claus and the Halloween Homicide, along with the first book in the series, Mrs. Claus and the Santaland Slayings. I guess both tied for number 9. I read them right next to each other. And what that is, it's a cozy mystery series by Liz Ireland. The Halloween Homicide was just published this year, and I interviewed Liz Ireland on my Christmas podcast. And you can check out that interview if you're interested. It tells the story of a woman named April who marries a man named Nick, who just so happens to be Santa Claus. The story begins after their honeymoon, and they have moved to the North Pole. And as is very common in cozy mysteries, a dead body turns up. I believe the first one was an elf was murdered. I know for sure in the second one, an elf was murdered. There is also in the first book a background mystery as to what happened to the original Santa Claus, because we find out that Nick was Santa's brother, and now he's taking over the duties of Santa. And the mythology of Santa in these stories is very fascinating as well. It's kind of designed, you know, if you think Downton Abbey, kind of picture that, and it gives you a good idea of what kind of society the North Pole is there. But there's not only Santa and Christmas cheer, there are elves, there are talking reindeer, you know, all the magic and fun of Christmas in the background with a cozy mystery. And they were just a ton of fun to read, a perfect read for Christmas time. I really enjoyed them as a mystery as well. Number 8 is Tess of the D'Urbervilles by Thomas Hardy. I'm slowly working my way through Hardy's novels, and I think I'm getting close to being done reading all of them. I might have only a couple left, and then some short stories as well, I'm sure. But Tess of the D'Urbervilles is a classic Victorian novel. I think a lot of you have read it or have heard of it, and I won't say much about it here right now. I'm sure I'll talk about it more at some future video. But I really enjoyed Tess of the D'Urbervilles. This was my first time reading it. And it was a sad but excellent book. And I recommend that one. Number 7 is an Anthony Trollope called Can You Forgive Her? And it's the first book in the Palliser series. And I read that back in August. And I was going to start reading the second one in the series this month. But then on Voxer, there is a group of booktubers that are doing a year-long reading of all 6 Palliser novels. So I decided to go ahead and start reading with them and along with them. So I went back and I'm right now actually rereading Can You Forgive Her? Which is weird because I don't think I've ever reread a book that soon, nor do I tend to read more than, you know, if it's a good author, I might read 3 or 4 of their novels in 1 year, but that's pretty rare just because I like variety. So I'm looking forward to reading along with the group and having started over and reading Can You Forgive Her again. I found that process to be very enjoyable, actually, and I'm picking up on things more this time than I did the first time I read, even though I did greatly enjoy it. And I think it has some interesting questions about a woman's right to choose who she's going to marry, which is a theme that pops up in Victorian literature. And even in Jane Austen, you know, there's this conflict of, you know, she marries somebody, a character has to marry this man because it's like a business arrangement. Whereas in some of Austen's books, you know, she puts forward this idea of how about they marry for love instead. And I think that's interesting, a cultural look. So I liked Can You Forgive Her? It was an excellent read. I have really enjoyed getting to know Trollope through his writing, and there's still so many great Trollope books to read that I haven't read yet, and I'm excited about reading more of him this year. So I will probably talk a bit more about this series as I read throughout the year. So you can look forward to that in some upcoming videos. Number 6 was a fun one. It's called Stiff by Mary Roach. Have you ever wondered what happens to you when you die? And no, I'm not talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your body. I can't say that I have. This book called Stiff that Mary Roach wrote, she gives a deep dive into what happens to your body after it dies. She talks a bit about how, you know, biologically what happens. She talks about if you have donated your body to science, what that looks like, if you are an organ donor, all those things. And it's a little on the gross side. And it was funny, it was entertaining, and yet it treated a very serious subject like death with respect. It's really making me rethink things such as organ donating and donating your body to science after you die, and the help it can be to science if more and more people do that. I like her idea. I think she mentioned she was now thinking of donating her body to science and then getting a tattoo somewhere on her body that says, "You're doing great. Keep up the good work." Just as a little message to whoever in the future is going to be dicing her up. So that's the kind of a little bit of the dark humor you can find in the book, but it's really an entertaining read, well worth the read. Then for 4 and 5 are kind of tied, and they are 2001 A Space Odyssey and then 2010 An Odyssey 2 by Arthur C. Clarke. Now this is technically a reread for me, but I read them so long ago, I could not really remember much of what happened in those stories. I remember liking them, but I don't know, reading them now, you know, 20, 25 years later, goodness. My perspective has changed, you know, my tastes have changed, and I really enjoyed those two books. Of course, it tells the story of scientists find a monolith on the moon that's old and ancient and seems to be producing a signal. And it's really such a hard book to explain what it's about. I guess you could say it's about aliens in our past that have intervened and helped develop and grow the human race into the intelligent marvels that we are, or helping us realize we still have a long way to go. Clark's books are more about exploration than about plot. That doesn't always work for me, but his work really does. And I really enjoy just the creative imagination that comes out in his novels and his short stories. And it was a joy to reread these. And they are certainly going to be some of my favorites. I'm going to read the rest of the books in the series, but I know I probably won't enjoy those as much. If I remember right, the fourth one is really strange. And I don't know. I'll be interested to read them now that I'm older and see what they have to say. But if you're in the mood for some classic sci-fi, I would heartily recommend 2001 and 2010, the Space Odyssey series. All right, so now we're coming down to the top three. These are the best of the best of the best that I've read in 2021. Coming in at number three is Misery by some guy named Stephen King. I think he's going to be an up-and-comer. You should definitely pay attention to his books. Yeah, I cracked myself up. Yeah, so a classic Stephen King novel I have not read before. I saw the movie back when it first came out, maybe a year or two after. And I was like 12, 13 years old, and that film scared me to death. Kathy Bates' performance in that film is so iconic, so perfect, so just downright scary that I could not watch her in any other movie for the longest time. And even now, when I see her, I still get a little jump and a little, ooh, you know, she was just so, so good in that film. I'd be interested to watch it again and see what kind of a reaction I get out of it now. But the book was so interesting. If you had told me, I'm going to give you a book to read. It's about the whole book is a discussion between two people trapped or stuck in one room. I would have thought that sounds boring. But in the hands of Stephen King, it becomes a masterpiece thriller / horror film or book. Because that's what I really marveled at this book is it's mostly the two main characters, Annie and, I forget the guy's name now, are talking to each other. And if you don't know what the story is about, I guess I should back up. The story is that, Paul is the writer. He's an author. He gets in a car accident and a lady named Annie Wilkes rescues him, but it turns out she's a little demented and that's not really a spoiler, and I won't give away much more if you haven't read it. If it's, you know, lots of trigger warnings on this of drug abuse, of physical abuse, of, you know, imprisonment, all that, but it was very, very well done. Very well written. I think it's definitely a modern classic, and I really enjoyed reading it. I hadn't read the book, like I said, just watching the movie, but the movie I'd watched so long ago that in some ways it felt like it was the first time for me. Although there's a couple of scenes that were both in the book and the movie, and I'm sure you guys that have seen them both know what scene that is, that, goodness me, I'm... No wonder I get scared whenever I see a typewriter. Anyway, or an axe. The last two are a couple of classic novels. Number two is The Dead Secret by Wilkie Collins. And I talked about this in a Victober wrap-up video, so I won't say much more about that, other than I really enjoyed it. I had read the two more famous novels by Wilkie Collins, and I thought what if these are the only two good ones he's written? But fortunately, The Dead Secret is just excellent, excellent work and an excellent story. All right. And then coming in at number one is Mary Barton by Elizabeth Gaskell. Now, this year, I found a deep appreciation or a deeper appreciation for Elizabeth Gaskell. I started off reading some of her short stories and for my podcast, and the stories like The Gray Woman or The Old Nurse's Story were just fantastic and scary and a great, creepy, thrilling stories. The book I read of hers, Mary Barton, deals with the working class struggles. There's a murder mystery involved that was very, honestly, it seemed very fast-paced, intense, the whole resolution of that. Great work. It brings me closer to finishing all of her novels. I think I have just two main novels left to read and maybe some novellas or shorter novels left of hers, but especially Ruth and Wives and Daughters are the two main novels of hers I haven't read yet. So I might do one of them this year, but I think I'm going to kind of slow down a little bit because I don't want to just rush through all of her novels and have none left to read for the rest of my life. but I have enjoyed rereading, and I'm hoping to reread some Gaskell here again, like North and South. I remember really loving that novel. That was a good one. But yeah, Mary Barton is a great Elizabeth Gaskell novel that I would recommend. And that was my favorite book from this year. Just real quick, a couple of rereads I did that I enjoyed as well. So kind of an honorable mention here. One is Pride and Prejudice. I reread that. And when I first read it about 5 years ago, I gave it 3 stars. I was actually just kind of bored with it until about halfway through when, you know, I'm trying to avoid spoilers for those few of you who haven't read it yet. When Mr. Darcy helps out Elizabeth's family, and I'll just leave it at that. And the book just suddenly took off for me and had, I thought, a good ending. But I really struggled with it when I first read it. So I read it a second time a few years later and enjoyed it then a little bit more, bumped it up to a 4-star read. And now this third time I read it, it's definitely a 5-star read. And one of the things I did is I was listening to a newer podcast called Pod and Prejudice, where they were going through chapter by chapter and then would have an episode about it. And one of the hosts had never read any Jane Austen before, and the other host has read all of them. So it was really exciting to see her viewing this book as for the first time. And I kind of caught that excitement of the one host who hadn't read it before. And plus their discussion and their in-depth talk on the chapters just really opened the book for me. And so I was really glad I found that podcast. And they're right in the middle of Sense and Sensibility. I'm still kind of behind listening to some of their back catalog, but I'm going to be reading Sense and Sensibility along with the podcast episodes as well, and seeing how that helps my interest in that book increase. Hopefully it will. But that's a fun podcast, and it helped me really, again, love and deepen my love for Pride and Prejudice. And then I reread Wuthering Heights. I think it was for Victober, for the Victober read, group read. And boy, that book was just, I don't know if I can say I like it better. Having reread it, I understand it better. And there are parts that were just beautiful, especially the beginning section. I love the beginning of that book. But yeah, and I've talked about it. I won't talk much more about it, but it's a book, and I read it. And I'm going to probably reread it again, just to keep wrestling with it. And then The Christmas Hirelings was another reread of mine this year. I listened to the Richard Armitage version again. I think it was for Kate Howe's monthly book club, it might have been, or for maybe the Patreon. And love that story. And then I read it on my Christmas podcast as well. I read on that podcast, I'll read Christmas stories and things for on the episodes, among other things. And so I read that story on the podcast, and that whole process of just slowing down and savoring the words and listening to them over and over again were made the experience quite enjoyable. Anyway, that's what I read in 2021. But I would love to hear in the comments what you've read this year that you've really enjoyed. Give me a couple of your top two or three reads, and I'll probably add them to my TBR if I haven't read them yet. So now that we're done with Christmas and New Year's is out of the way, we can settle in for the long winter, and I've got some great reading ahead I'm planning for. I'm looking forward to, again, doing the Dickens read-along with all of you who want to come along. I am thinking of starting maybe like a Voxer channel or a Discord channel to where everyone can group together and we can communicate and chat a bit better than on YouTube. If that's something that you would like to do, let me know in the comments as well. I'll have hopefully some links set up. Well, that's it for now. I hope that wherever you are warm and safe, and unless you like to be cold and live dangerously. I mean, it's your life. But until next time, I hope you enjoy what you're reading. Take care.